first minister of the Republic of Africa, the first minister of the Republic of Africa, and the first obviously, the true prophet. Now, he gave some argumentation to try to mitigate that. He said, well, the Septuagint has, in the Greek, that would be the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known for us about 250 or 300 BC, has false prophets there. And so he said, you put a strong definition for the Greek word, not the Hebrew word, but the Greek word in the Septuagint, the false prophet, pseudo-prophetess.
Can I get two of those? I have two of those on the whole. I'm going to be hard to break down the third day.
at your very time. So what we point out is that self-provision is not inerrant. The Bible will say a question, but it's not inerrant. You cannot use the self-provision for proof when it disagrees with the Hebrews. For example, the self-provision of this, Jeremiah 29, 4 through 10. In fact, it differs from Jeremiah's many passages due to addition, omission, and length, and cut. The self-provision adds to 14:53. I'm not sure it's 14:53. See, in 1 Kings 8:53, if you can find the following. In fact, now, Mr. Prince, the Lancelot Britton, took his Septuagint, the great translation of the Old Testament, translated English. I don't know if English here, but it's in the Greek, so I can't read the Greek, but I'm an English translation. What you have in 1 Kings 8:53, you have what you have in King James. That's in the Hebrew. That's what it is. The Septuagint has this. This place calls the church of hell. We have been filled in. He manifested the sun in the heavens. The Lord said to dwell in darkness, build down my house, a beautiful house for myself to dwell in the new. Behold, the darkness makes the book of the soul. I find a dandy passage here. In the Septuagint. Not in the Hebrew. It's added. We cannot rely upon the Septuagint for proof when it differs from the Hebrew. It differs from the Hebrew. Don't you notice? Hosea 11, verse 1. In Hosea 11, verse 1, the Hebrew has called my son out of Egypt. But the Septuagint has, the Greek has, out of Egypt have I called his children. There's one of them here. First of all, you have the word my and his. Yes, this is the first person, but that is the difference. We're going to call attention to that. Paul tells us it's a son of Caesar in Hosea 11, 1 in Hebrew. But in the Septuagint has, I called his children, his plural. And his reference to the Holy Greek, the Septuagint, Hebrew 11, 1. Why is this important? I'm trying to read this quote in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15. This quote, Hosea 11, verse 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, read. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's talking about Hosea 11, 1. Quoting that, look at verse 32. Remember when Jesus was born, that wasn't even to be healed, but it's in Egypt, where my God is in. They came out of Egypt later, when I believe when Herod died. So this verse says, he came up out of Egypt. And it says, this is the fulfillment of Hosea 11, verse 1. It says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Singular, not plural. He couldn't apply to Jesus to his children. Plural. It has to be singular to apply to Jesus. That's how that you apply it. Have I called my son out of Egypt? Singular. Jesus Christ. Children of Israel that he sent. The Septuagint, that's a great translation that Hebrew has been. That translation. Singular here in Hebrew. The New Testament shows that the singular has to be correct. Here's a lot of lies. In Zechariah 13, verse 2, Jason's main argument, that's my false prophet, is he says the Septuagint, there's a Greek word and one prefix which means false divine. But in Hebrew, what I wrote, not a man-made translation, no Hebrew word for false. Not bad. So there goes your main proof, Jason. All right, Mark, next one. He made a clever little argument. He said that adding some additional 1 Corinthians 13 doesn't make sense. Because if the parts are done away, let's say you have a pie, you took away all the parts of the pie, you can have the whole, you can have the whole pie. Jason, that's right. Now, Buck says it's true, but it doesn't sound my position. My position is not that the whole is the same as the part, but that the whole is of the same nature as the part. Prophecy, and the New Testament, they're not the same thing. Prophecy was a means by which God revealed the New Testament all in part. The New Testament is a means by which God reveals the New Testament in whole. See? So when God took away the parts, okay, that's where the New Testament is gone. He took away the way to reveal the New Testament in part. When he brought forth the means of the way to reveal the New Testament in whole. For example, if they had offered apples, the means of an apple, an apple replied, don't think you're all alone. The apple be asking for a whole apple, a whole orange. Whole apple, right? Look, we have apple necessarily asking for that same apple? Yes, we said it already today. You're eating part of it? No. Don't think y'all the whole one. The same nature is not the same apple. You see that? Okay, that's a good point, but it doesn't apply to opposition. In any mention, you brought your Slater's definition for in part. And he acted like I misrepresented that definition. Well, you read Slater's definition. It said in part, partially. I feel like when I was praying, but if you read it just a little bit further, there's a funny marking in there that I don't understand. So somebody can first read this wrong, but someone that heard of it looks like me. He's talking about the same word in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, contrasted term and express opposition to the idea of the cold. That's in favor. Okay? But now, let me say this. You look at these dictionaries for definitions, and they give you different definitions. Okay? And if their opinion on which definition applies to which verse, we are equally at the ability to do that. They give some different definitions for words, and we look at the context and try to decide which definition fits. Sometimes we do in English, when somebody does something, we want to look at the word because we don't understand it. It may have five definitions. If we say it, we apply it to what they said. Okay? So one of the definitions will be implied, well, this is standard here, it looks like you say it on 1 Corinthians 13, contrast the term express opposition to the idea of a complete whole. Another place it is one that constitutes part of the whole. We're going to take different definitions and find and figure out which definition to use in that case. And then he says, well, Paul said that he preached the whole council through the Acts 21 sermon. That's right, yeah. So that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole complete discussion of the whole thing that we put together. But he could preach the whole council. He didn't leave anything off the needed. But he did not have all of the discussion of the whole. This man put together for people to read it so they could see from people. Matter of fact, when he said that next week, probably the rest of the book of Acts wasn't written. The English book of Acts could have been written at that time. Okay? And then he said, it quoted the definition where it didn't mean it was important. Okay, so I never said that to me in 1 Corinthians 13. Always been responsible and important. But I did quote, just remind, one of the two definitions he gave was with logical import. I wasn't saying I always did that. And I think you knew that something to come up in a debate before. I wasn't saying that, but the context shows that's what it means. Here, that's one of the definitions. Well, there are other definitions. So look at the context and decide which definition is here, first, second, third, thing, or third thing. That answers the question in earlier debate. The same word duty is from Romans 7, verse 17. I'll read it straight away to them. We're doing it there. I said, does that mean now it's a moment or is logical import? And over here at the table, he said, logical import. Well, if duty means from in Romans 7:17 is logical import, you agree, Nathan, then it could be in over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. I did not make the argument that I could pull out one solely, the definition of it can mean the other. But what I did is I looked at all the words in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, or hand is safe. Anytime, that contract word anytime translated, but some translations have money. And then now, anytime means with logical import by itself. Then it's about it. You look at that. He's been talking about these three things in one stop. First thing, and then he says, but, and now, about what do you think the contract is in volume? Look at that. Why did he say that? He says, these three things, charity, excuse me, opposite tongues, and lack of salt, they stop the same. So now, these are mine. What is he trying to say? Look at number six, Mark. Look at number six. He's trying to show you a contrast. These three things stop, and these three things abide. It's all those words. You know, he says, these three, not these six. He's not saying the faith, hope, charity, and tongues, and prophecy, and miracles, and all that's abide. He says, only faith, hope, and charity will abide. In contrast to Jason, the others stop it. So that brings us back to our point. Prophecy shows the knowledge of prophecy after his purchase. Well, the contrast here, but for me, shows that faith and hope will rise through after his purchase. These things are going to stop for faith, but now these are going to rise for purchase. Now, if prophecy shows the miraculous knowledge of prophecy after his purchase, and if faith and hope come through that which is purchase, yes, we agree and take the agreement that spiritual prophecy will show that we have to have faith and hope, and we know the need for it. Second coming of Christ, Jason agreed in a place that that hope on the next week will stop the second coming. With hope, continue on and stop the second coming, you have a higher conclusion that was determined, you have a determined, and not be the second coming of Christ. It is impossible, logically, Jason, for that which is subject to be equivalent to the second coming of Christ. So, in summary, what have we shown? Jason has tried an excellent way to mitigate our argument in Zechariah 13 that verse 2 is talking about true prophecy. Look at the context, we can see that it's talking about true, not false prophets. True prophets will Second coming is not.